Current sports. Happy Monday, beautiful people. Yes, we are back at it on a very snowy, cold, and just day outside, okay? Hopefully y'all are staying warm. I know many of you have the day off from work, the day off from school, so we are honored that you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of that day off. We've got a hot show in store for you to keep you warm, folks. The Super Bowl. Wow, what a Sunday it was, and one of the best Super Bowls that we've seen in quite some time. Congrats to the New England Patriots. They showed a lot of resiliency and a lot of grit throughout that game. We'll break down that game, break down Katy Perry's halftime performance, the Super Bowl commercials, all of that. We'll have all things Super Bowl for you, folks, and encourage you all to call in. We'll also bring to you our weekend winners, talk about will Ndamukong Suh stay with the team, and of course, recap that incredible MSU win over Michigan yesterday at the Breslin Center. All of that and so much more, but let's start the show like we always do. Here is the one, the only, Madeline Carino with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Good afternoon, I'm Madeline Carino, and here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for today, February 2nd. One of the biggest in-state rivalries went down last night, and the Spartans came out on top. In overtime, MSU defeated the Michigan Wolverines 76-66. U of M outscored the Spartans in the second half, but then remained scoreless in overtime. Brandon Dawson had 19 points, 10 rebounds. Denzel Valentine tied his career-high 25 points, and Matt Costello stepped up with 10 points off the bench and 7 rebounds. MSU scored another win last night when the number 13 defensive end of the nation, Khalid Kareem, committed to MSU. The 6'4", 240-pound Farmington Hills Harrison student-athlete had a list of offers including U of M, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Oregon, Tennessee, Wisconsin, Miami, and Penn State. The next prospect on MSU's list is 6'8", 255-pound center and McDonald's All-American, Caleb Swanigan. Yesterday's game against Michigan was supposed to showcase the Breslin atmosphere. Unfortunately, the snowstorm prevented Swanigan from coming. However, the recruit has seen campus a few times before. Friday's hockey game at Joe Louis between Michigan and Michigan State seemed like it was going to be a blowout until the Spartans defeated the highest scoring team in college hockey 2-1. The Spartans have won their last three games and halted Michigan's 7-game winning streak. This morning, the Pistons have signed a 10-day contract with 5'11 point guard John Lucas III. The former Jazz player is being brought in as insurance behind DJ Augustine and rookie Spencer Dinwiddie. The Pistons are looking to replace the void since Brandon Jennings tore his left Achilles 8 days ago in Milwaukee. Next month, Detroit Lions defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh is set to become a free agent this offseason unless the Lions sign him to a long-term contract or franchise tag, potentially estimating $26.9 million. Wide receiver Calvin Johnson said, quote, "I'll do whatever I got to do," end quote, to keep Suh on the team. Johnson may have to reconstruct his contract to free up some funds for Suh. Despite almost 2 weeks' worth of skepticism, criticism, and investigation regarding the football's air pressure, the New England Patriots defeated the Seattle Seahawks 28-24 last night in a nail-biting finish.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Tom Brady threw 4 touchdown passes, set a Super Bowl record of 37 completions, earned his 4th Lombardi Trophy, and is now comparable to NFL legends and record holders Joe Montana and Terry Bradshaw. And finally, the latest edition of the official world golf rankings puts Tiger Woods at number 56, potentially missing the qualifications for this year's first World Golf Championship event. This would only be the second time in his career that Woods did not qualify for such a tournament. Woods has not been ranked lower than 58th in the world since winning his first of 79 titles in 1996. Again, my name is Madeline Carino, and those are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, please call at 517-355-9527. Share what's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet at AlMartinWKAR.
Madeline, thanks so much. Really appreciate that, folks. Again, our phone lines are now open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. That is the number to call in and voice your thoughts on anything that is on your sports noggin. And I'm pretty sure you guys have a lot of thoughts on either the Super Bowl yesterday and the New England Patriots win over the Seattle Seahawks, or even that Michigan State and Michigan game yesterday that went down to the wire, an overtime affair in which the Spartans pulled out by the skin of their teeth. Or even just general thoughts on anything that we haven't covered just yet. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. And also got to remind you all that in 2 days, yes, 2 days, each and every Wednesday, you guys know that we tape Current Sports TV. And this week, I have another fantastic guest for you all. His name is David Thomas. He is the director of the MSU Women's Basketball Operations and Technology. Now, let's see here. Looking at this whole thing, looking at his unbelievable tenure here, he has been a staple of the Greater Lansing community since finishing his professional basketball career in 2009. Now, he spent the last 2 years working for the Michigan State University Federal Credit Union, most recently as the Business Services Assistant Manager. Now, prior to that, Thomas was the owner and operator of Evergreen Car Wash and Detail right in Lansing for 4 years. During that time, he also spent time as the host of Spartan Fast Break on WLNS-TV from 2010 to 2012. And you guys know that he is also a national champion, winning the 2000 NCAA Men's Basketball National Championship and really doing some unbelievable things both on the court and off of it. He even has a basketball camp that he also does every year in conjunction with East Lansing High School, and of course, head boys basketball coach over there, Steve Fenimore. It's always a fun time to go out to that camp and see the incredible guests that David brings to the table. And just hearing David talk to the kids and try to inspire them on not only the game of basketball, but on life. If you want to get a chance to meet David and join that live TV studio audience this Wednesday night at 6 p.m. at the WKAR TV studios, you can do so by simply going to WKAR.org. Well, folks, I'm excited to start the week off with a hot show. Of course, it is bad outside. I really hope that everyone out there don't go outside if you don't have to. Okay, that is the motto for today, because it is just nasty outside. Now, you know, I'm not really practicing what I preach, because last night, I had to be outside, though, at least for the beginning part of the day, because I was at the Breslin Center to cover that Michigan State and Michigan game. A great game, by the way, which we're about to get to in just a sec. But going back to, of course, not going outside if you don't have to. Last night, after I watched the Super Bowl, you know, I thought to myself, man, I forgot to stop at the store and grab some soap. I had no soap. I ran out of soap. And I'm like, you know what? Let me just make a quick run. Quality Dairy is right down the street. Folks, it turns out to be one of the biggest regrets of my life, okay? I got into my car, and right the street that is right next to the parking lot of my apartment complex had not been paved all the way. There were a few guys, one or two guys out there plowing the roads, but mine wasn't fully plowed. That road wasn't fully plowed. So I get out there, drive my car right into it. At first, I'm cruising. Everything's fine and dandy. And then I hit a rut of just snow, just a ton of snow, folks. And, you know, I don't drive a big SUV or truck. You know, I drive, a two-door coupe. And, coupes aren't great in the snow. I got stuck. And, folks, I was out there for an hour and 30 minutes trying to get my car out of the snow. After about 30 minutes, the guys who were plowing the roads, they helped me out. But again, it took us an hour and a half to get me out of the rut that I was in. I mean, I'm sitting there so frustrated. And to make matters worse, even, you know how you back up and go forward to try and work yourself out of the ditch? Well, on one of those attempts, my car slid and hit a pole, folks. So now I have a big dent right next to my gas tank that I need to get fixed. So, boy, oh boy, it was a glorious Sunday for me, folks. But hey, you just got to laugh it off. Life is funny sometimes. So I say all I have to say, be safe, stay in and don't leave the crib if you don't have to. Point blank, period, folks. It is nasty outside. Hopefully it'll pass soon, okay? Oh, boy. All right, folks. Well, you know, let's start things off by talking about the Michigan State and Michigan men's basketball game. Now, of course, we're going to have all of the Super Bowl talk in just a sec, but I want to start things off with that because, of course, it's more local, and it was such an intriguing game that went down to the wire. Now, if you missed it, folks, again, big in-state rivalry. It's always one for the ages anytime Michigan and Michigan State plays one another. But in OT, MSU got the win over the Wolverines 76-66. Here's my report right after that game. Records and rankings, throw them out the window. They don't matter anytime these two rivals meet. And according to recent history, Michigan has actually won 3 of the last 4 meetings. Well, it took a great overtime effort for Michigan State to pull out the win today and change that trend. But they still are in agreeance of one aspect, that they still aren't doing the little things right.
These little things matter more, and we're not doing as good a job of getting that through. You know, I said all along, I love my team, I love the guys, but when a couple guys make the errors, the turnovers, they only ended up 12, but it were just some in the beginning of the game, and the missed free throws and missed layups, and all of a sudden we're down 6 or 8.
Doing the little things right, the free throws, of course, the point blank misses. I mean, where does that problem stem? What's the foundation of that problem? Is it just kind of a focus thing with you guys?
Absolutely, I think it's a focus thing. I mean, those are shots we make every day, wide open threes, wide open layups, you know. Those are things we do in practice, make them every day, make them in most games. So it's just, I think it was like a focus.
You know, it just depends. You know, sometimes it's focus, you know, sometimes it's being tired. But at the end of the day, it really don't matter because the fans don't care, you know, everybody don't care, but as long as you get the win. So, you know, at the end of the game, we can't make excuses. We just got to get the win.
Matt Costello became the spark plug for Michigan State in the overtime session. Actually, the only player on that MSU bench that scored. And the late game emergence for Costello, it's really quite simple.
Like I said earlier, just playing without thinking. Always thinking too much. It's a problem I have. So when I play without thinking, it gets better.
I mean, he had some key blocks that he made and some rebounds too. I mean, Matt came through at the end for us. And that's what we really needed.
You know, Matt struggled. I mean, he struggled on ball screens in that, and that yet made some unbelievable plays down the stretch. The block shots, the block on Irvin, you know, a guy that can go around him, the block on the layup. You know, that's what's kind of frustrating about this team right now. We just haven't put it all together.
Yeah, I think that was very well said from Tom Izzo. Again, that is my report on the Michigan and Michigan State aftermath of that game. 76-66 win for Michigan State. If you want to check that report out and get the visual of that report, just simply go to WKAR.org right now. But yeah, you know, Matt Costello became the hero for that team yesterday, folks. What a game did he have? And, you know, and it's funny because, you know, Tom Izzo was asked about, you know, the very first question of the presser about Matt Costello's efficiency in that overtime period. And Izzo kind of joked and said, well, you know, the reason why he was so efficient in the overtime is because throughout the first 40 minutes, he was pretty silent. And that is true. You know, throughout that entire game, you really didn't see much from Matt until, you know, those last 5 minutes in overtime. But man, oh man, he was great. But, you know, going back to the essence of that report, I mean, it comes down to the little things, folks. Michigan State, throughout the past 2 to 3 games now, specifically when you talk about the areas of missing those point-blank shots, Michigan State misses a lot of at-the-rim buckets that should go down. I don't know what it is, and again, I think it all stems from a focus issue. You heard from Bryn Forbes and you heard from Denzel Valentine in that report and got their thoughts on it. It just comes down to focus because those are shots they normally make in practice, and they normally make throughout the season, to be honest with you. But these last two games, they just have not gone down. You know, some of the more alarming misses have come from guys like Costello, guys like Brandon Dawson. Brandon Dawson has missed a lot of easy bunnies that that should go down. And if they make those, especially yesterday, maybe it's not that close of a game because there were multiple opportunities where Michigan State had those easy looks at the bucket. But also, and this has been a problem all year, this isn't just a past two games problem or hindrance. Michigan State has to make free throws. They got to start making free throws, folks. And if you look at Denzel Valentine on that last intentional foul from Michigan, Denzel Valentine approaches the line for a 1-1. State is up at that point by what? I believe 2 points. Or 3 points, excuse me. I believe 2 or 3 points. And if Denzel Valentine makes both of those free throws, yeah, it was 2 points, because if he makes both, Michigan State is up by 4 and makes it a two-possession game and sort of puts the game out of reach and becomes a free throw shooting contest. And right now, if you put Michigan State in a free throw shooting contest, they're going to lose the game. So Denzel Valentine goes to the line. He misses the first of a 1-1. Michigan comes down to court, scores, ties the game. To overtime we go. So this problem could easily have been alleviated, and many problems down the stretch of games could be easy alleviated if MSU makes free throws. I don't know what it is. Again, you know, I had a statistic two weeks ago that if Michigan State continues on the pace that it is, this could go down as the worst free throw shooting team in the Tom Izzo era. And I also think that comes down to focus. I just easy buckets there. And but such a back and forth game. You know, I'm all about giving credit where credit is due, and you gotta give credit to John Beilein and the Michigan Wolverines, because it's easy to pronounce this team dead when looking at, you know, really just two huge pieces that are now absent for this team, and Derek Walton Jr., who is battling turf toe, and Caris LeVert, who was out for the year. I mean, two of the prime essential pieces that have been keystones to their success these past few years, now out. Point blank, period. So, who do they have to rely on? What, Spike Albrick? Aubrey Dawkins? Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman? I mean, names that aren't names that usually pop out in stat sheets when you talk about the Michigan basketball team. These are guys that really just kind of just are really role players, to be honest with you, with the exception of Zach Irvin, because I think he's a bona fide star. But, I mean, to see guys step up that you normally don't see step up for this Michigan team is really a testament to John Beilein and his coaching staff. Looking at the stat line here, Spike Albrick had 18 points, and then Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman, which is a very cool name, by the way, he had 18 points in 32 minutes. I mean, those two more so, I mean, they were unbelievable. Especially, what really impresses me about Spike Albrick when watching that game yesterday was that, you know, Spike, no matter what the situation, he's always been like this, even dating back to when he first, you know, hit the hardwood for the Maize and Blue. Spike is a guy who is always going to play under control, make sound decisions, and not turn the ball over. He's not a guy who's going to fill it up, but he's a guy who's going to give his teammates an opportunity to make plays, because he just does not turn the ball over. Simple as that. He is the quintessential of a prime point guard. Simple as that. Facilitate, get others involved, don't turn the basketball over. That's what Spike does. But we saw him do that yesterday while also throwing up 18 points, and an efficient 18 points, might I add. 6 for 13, shooting above 50%. That's pretty impressive. And then you look at Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman, who will probably had his best game of his career so far. 18 points for him, and he went 8 for 14, 2 for 4 from the three-point line. My goodness, was he good. And, you know, I always said that when Michigan State, it seems as though when they play a backcourt tandem, or even just one guy out of that backcourt who is athletic and can score, they have problems. And Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman was that guy yesterday. Even Spike Albrick was that guy yesterday. I mean, both of them. Really efficient performances from both of them. And then you're sprinkling Aubrey Dawkins, who had a few timely buckets. John Beilein, you got to tip your cap off to him, folks. So, and there's also another contrary mood to have. What sort of emotion? I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, Spartan fans out there listening, because I want to know what sort of emotion do you take away from that game yesterday. Do you focus on the fact that Michigan State got the win on the end? Simple as that. They got the win, they got the W, all is well. Or is the mere fact that Michigan, a Michigan team who does not have the likes of Derek Walton Jr. and a Caris LeVert, do you focus on the fact that the team without their stars was able to push a team like Michigan State, who had just relatively everybody healthy out in the court, to the brink? Are you worried about that? Because for me, that's also something I think you have to take in consideration when looking at yesterday's game. Again, the number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Denzel Valentine, talk about efficient. Michigan State would have definitely lost the game if it wasn't for Denzel and his consistency throughout that one. All-around great game for Denzel. 25 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. He even had 2 steals. And we talk about the turnover, you know, conundrum that he's been battling throughout his entire career. He only had 2 turnovers yesterday, folks. Denzel Valentine seemed to be locked and keyed in. Point blank, period. Solid night for him. Travis Trice, of course, you know, I talked last week about how, you know, it doesn't seem as though he's fully healthy. You saw him out there yesterday with the shoulder brace. His shoulder had popped out in the previous game, actually. That's why he's wearing that brace. And it seemed to me that maybe that was throwing off his mojo a little bit. He didn't seem to be the Travis Trice that we've seen in the past. And but I tell you what, he hit big buckets when he needed to. Some key buckets down the stretch when he needed to, including that, you know, that jump shot from the foul line that put MSU up and sort of extended the lead. And then how about the penetration and kick out to Bryn Forbes, that 3-pointer in overtime, I believe, that really kind of just put a stamp on the game. So Travis Trice made plays when he needed to. And again, you know, going back to Matt Costello, it seems as though he just kind of woke up in overtime. He actually, again, as you heard in my report, he was the only guy off the bench to score for Michigan State. The only guy. Now, Izzo also addressed that and said that it was just a mere rotational thing. That's just the way the lineups just kind of worked out that day. And Matt Costello just found areas to score. You know, some of those buckets were off cleanup buckets. I remember specifically in overtime when Travis Trice missed a 3, Costello was there to clean it up, get the rebound, go off the glass, boom, 2 points. So he actually played 24 minutes, 10 points for him, 4 blocks, 1 steal, 5 offensive rebounds. And the offensive rebound numbers were also disparate as well. Michigan State does a great job on the boards. I always say the most consistent aspect to this team is the way they rebound. And it's on the offensive end, I mean, 13 rebounds compared to 6 for Michigan, that's impressive stuff. Anytime you can have second chance opportunities to score on, Michigan State instantly becomes dangerous, and they are always dangerous on the boards, and you got to give a lot of credit to that, to Brandon Dawson. BJ is a walking double-double. He had 19 points and 10 rebounds. So now Michigan State goes on a stretch where, you know, they get relatively, you know, what, 5 days off now to prepare for Illinois, a team like in the middle of the pack of the Big Ten right now, and then they play Northwestern, bottom barrel team, and then Ohio State, a team that is right now, of course, sitting in second place of the Big Ten, tied with Michigan State, actually. And it's so crazy because this conference is hard to predict right now, because Michigan State right now also sits in second place in the Big Ten Conference. Amid all the struggles they've had, they still sit in a position to possibly win the Big Ten Conference. Wow, that's remarkable stuff. Trying to predict how this all will pan out, oh, man, it's like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You just don't know. Just don't know. I now invite the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer here on Current Sports, Alex Shark. How you doing, my man?
Hey, not a little bit better than you this morning. I didn't get any dents in my car.
Thank goodness. You got a nice car, too, man. No dents in that, baby.
Yeah, no dents needed. But, yeah, about this Michigan game, I think this is the Shark slogan on the day here. Success breeds aces in the hole. And what I mean by that is a team like Michigan, you said it. When LeVert went down, you heard the naysayers. Oh, the season's over. Oh, you know, Michigan, no chance at all at this point. They lost their best player. You saw them lose all those games in a row. You thought they were done. But to see Muhammad Ali Abdulrahman, to see some of the play from Cameron Chapman, some Zach Irvin, he started to step up over the last three or 4 weeks.
Right.
So if you're a successful team, and we saw that with Ohio State, if you can be successful, you'll breed guys in your bench and your second, your third string quarterbacks that you never expected to have a preliminary role. But they have the capabilities and the talent and maybe some of that high school experience to really step in and play and be dominant right away. So it's a lesson learned. Just because the players went down, you can't necessarily call the team waving the white flag. So, and Michigan showed that. Yeah, they lost, But again, it's a rivalry game, a very tough East Lansing environment. And for Michigan State, my final thought out on them and letting Michigan come close, and you brought up the question if, well, you know, isn't that a concern? You had your whole lineup in the game and you let a damaged team like Michigan come in and almost beat you? A rivalry game is a rivalry game, and anything can happen. The environment's a little hostile. You heard the players say in your postgame report their focus wasn't there. I don't think it's just because they were lackadaisical. I think it's the focus just because of the rivalry. It's the fact that there are a lot of intangibles going on in that environment there that are outside the X's and O's. Yeah. So that's what I attribute to that, Al.
And in the end, it seems as though, you know, it's so crazy because Michigan State has now played six overtime periods, folks. Six overtimes. We still got a lot of the season left to play. And I just kind of wonder, I mean, playing that many extra periods, how much does that wear on a team both physically and mentally? And, you know, Bryn said, yeah, it definitely kind of weighs on us because, you know, we'd rather close it out. But they've closed out games relatively well in those overtime periods. They've had a few losses in overtimes, but they've also had a few wins as well. So it's kind of a mix. Folks, if you want to weigh in, 517-355-9527. I believe we have Ray on line one. Ray, my man, how you doing, Ray? Is Ray there, Alex? No, we don't have Ray. Do we have Mike? I think Mike is on line too. Hey, let's go to Mike then. Mike from Saginaw.
Hello.
Mike,
hello,
how you doing, Martin? My man? We got you.
I'm right there, L. Martin. I just was going to tell you what you think about the Supertime Super Bowl commercials and the halftime show, man. At least they got some moderate entertainment up there before I asked you about the Big Ten.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you asked that because I thought that, well, I tell you what, I really wished that there were more comedic Super Bowl commercials this year. I really, really wanted to see. I really wanted to bust the gut this year and really laugh at a few commercials. There were a few, but a lot of them were real. I don't know if you can echo this, Mike, but a lot of them were real, like, intimate and just real touchy, just tear-jerkers.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, there were a few about, you know, fathers and a few domestic violence ones. They were really deep commercials. As far as a halftime show, Katy Perry certainly did her thing. What I was really looking forward to, and I didn't expect that. I knew Lenny Kravitz was going to perform. He only performed for like a minute or so. I really thought he should have performed a little longer. But how about Missy Elliott, man? I used to love Missy. I grew up on Missy Elliott, and seeing her make a quote-unquote comeback at the Super Bowl was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. You know, it really was. I kind of liked to. She lost a lot of weight, too.
Yeah, she has. She looks good. Yeah, she does.
She really do. You know, it's unfortunate that Whitney Houston's daughter, unfortunately, that's just terrible what happened going on with her. But
yeah, I did hear that, too. Yeah.
And the reason why I brung her up is because she sang the national anthem at the Super Bowl, and it would have been something to say. And, you know, they say everything else on those pregame shows.
Right.
But I wanted to talk about the Big Ten Conference. It's halfway through the season now, and Wisconsin's in first place. And I just think about Wisconsin team. You know, they never go out and recruit those one-and-done players like the ESPN and all the people at the Washington Post and all those people who love Coach K and Roy Williams and Kentucky's only three college basketball teams to the media is Kentucky, North Carolina, and Duke players. And I just thought about it. I said, man, would that be something if Wisconsin, a team like Wisconsin or Purdue or Indiana, even Michigan State get a player like Okafor or get somebody that's really in the top 10 like those ESPN or those Parade High School All-Americans, what they'll do with them. You know, they just And I just like the way Wisconsin play ball. I really do. I'm just really impressed with them. So what you think about the Big Ten at the halfway point? What do you think about Maryland Rutgers, too?
I'll
take it off the air.
Yeah, hey, thanks a lot for the call, Mike. Appreciate that. Yeah, and as far as my breakdown of and I've always said this, you guys have probably heard me rant on this as well when it comes to recruiting and the big recruits. As far as the young kid's mindset coming out of high school, I mean, it's always about nowadays, I feel like it's always about that, okay, what's the quickest ticket for me to make millions? Especially if you're a higher recruit. If you're like that 4 or 5-star recruit, if you're like that Jesus Shuttlesworth, okay, you guys have seen He Got Game. You're trying to get that quick ticket to the NBA. You've seen so many young stars have success in the league and get paid a lot of money. You know, heck, I got to be honest with you. If I'm a top recruit coming out of high school, yeah, you know, the Kentucky has shown just about every year they have a new starting five because they're constantly sending guys to the league after 1 year. That's the mentality of a lot of the young minds who play the game of basketball today. So that's why when you look at a program like a Michigan State or an Indiana and so on and so forth, when you look at programs like that, those programs historically don't churn out one and done guys. The talent that comes to state usually is staying 3 to 4 years and then leaving and making, you know, things happen in the league. And there's also proof in the pudding of that success can come out of that longevity in college. But again, you know, hey, you know, when you look at other examples of success in the league, young success in the league, you want to be and you want to get that money as quick as possible. It's very tempting, very, very tempting. As far as the Big Ten goes, I tell you what, it's so hard to read the Big Ten. You know, before we took calls, I said, there's so many teams out there that are competing. I mean, let's just look at the jam up that is the second place of the Big Ten Conference right now. I mean, it's like four or five teams in that. At the end of the day, I think Wisconsin is proven that they are for real. You know, look out for Maryland. Maryland as well is a tremendous team with the freshman and Melo Trimble. They're great. If I had to choose a 1-2-3, maybe Wisconsin, Maryland, and maybe Michigan State. I don't know. We'll see. We got another caller right now. Todd from Lake Orion. How you doing, Todd? You're on Current Sports, my man.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hello.
My big takeaway from the college basketball team, our game yesterday was, those were two average basketball teams at best. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, we could talk about rivalry. We could talk about what the game means. And it obviously means a lot to the players, the coaches, the fans, and everybody. But that was not classic basketball by anybody's definition. Very glad the Michigan State got a win. It counts as one win. It's going to count as one loss for Michigan. I have no love for Michigan, but what does that M on their jersey stand for? Moral victories? Is that what that M stands for?
But you know what?
You walk off the court, you're a winner or a loser. You can play very well and lose, and they don't give you a half win, right?
Right.
You can play very poorly and get a W, and you still get the W. And that's not to take anything away from the efforts that those players had, but. You know, and John Beilein is a very good coach, borderline great coach. I mean, he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. But, you know, you either win the game or you lose the game. And if the other team walks off with more than you had, you lost. Now, you can be proud of some of the things your team did. But before we're going to go all crazy about what this game was, correct me if I'm wrong. These were two teams that both had home losses to Texas Southern and New Jersey Institute of Technology. That may hurt people's feelings.
No, you're right. Right.
After the buzz or whatever, but, you know, let's be honest. I mean, you know, we can make excuses, we can give reasons, we can have her, but the scoreboard don't lie.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, to me, I certainly hope Michigan State makes the tournament. I hope they do well. That counts for something. But, you know, going to the NCAA tournament and maybe losing in the first round, but losing a home game to Texas Southern, I mean, that doesn't just go away because it's unpleasant and uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. In life, you take the good with the bad, and you don't get to just forget about the bad. And in today's world, I think I'm not going to go with the political correctness term because I don't know that correctly applies, but you just can't always eat taking ice cream every day.
Right.
Every once in a while, you got to take your medicine. And I saw two teams that played hard, gave effort, but if you were to take those two teams and put them against a very good basketball team, they wouldn't be eating cake. They'd be eating a lot of medicine.
Todd, great take. And you know what, Todd? I have to agree with you definitely because, you know, when you look at it, and I had a few conversations with a few media colleagues in the business yesterday after that game, waiting on John Beilein and Tom Izzo to hit the podium and address the media. You know, looking at, again, And going back to my point, what type of emotion should both, I would sim it on both ends now. I mean, both Michigan fans and both Michigan State fans. What sort of emotion do you feel after a game like that? On state side, I mean, you have to really take into account that, okay, this is a team that is beaten up. This is a team that doesn't have its two best players. This is a team that has had some ugly, ugly losses, as Ty talked about, to one of them being the New Jersey Institute of Technology. And they pushed you to the brink. And I believe even during the New Jersey Institute of Technology game, they still had Walton and LeVert. But besides the point, this is a team that still pushed you to an overtime game. I think you really got to think about that, because there are still the same problems for Michigan State that we have been seeing for going on now 3 weeks now. And I think Tom Izzo's pulling out his hair to try and figure out what to do to solve them. The free throw woes, the point blank misses, the lack of half court offense efficiency. I do agree, and there's a lot of truth into what Todd just spoke to, and I really appreciate that take on current sports as well. Thanks a lot, Todd. Also, before we hit the first break, we got to invite our good friend of current sports, my man Ray. How you doing, Ray?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic, my man.
I'm going to tell you, that was a frustrating weekend over the weekend. I want to talk about some things about it, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Michigan State, I watched you guys. Man, I couldn't believe all the layups and the point-blank little three-foot, four-foot shots you couldn't make. Couldn't make anything from the outside except for Valentine. He saved the day for you. But I'm telling you, if you don't play better than that when you play him in the rematch, even with those two guys off, you'll get beat.
Yeah. No, you're preaching to the choir, Ray.
Your free throw shooting is terrible, too.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so funny because I'm glad you brought that up, because the three-point shooting is something that if I could rewind the tape of current sports to the beginning of the season, I mean, Michigan State relied so heavy on that three-point line. And to be honest with you, they were very efficient from the arc. I mean, they were leading the nation, not the Big Ten Conference here, but the nation in three-point field goal percentage. And then it seemed as though the emphasis on shooting the three kind of just dispersed a little bit. I mean, they definitely will chuck it up. Don't get me wrong. But the efficiency of the way they shoot that ball. You hear me say efficiency a lot when talking about the Michigan State men's basketball team, because there are not a lot of efficient aspects to this team other than consistent rebounding efforts, Ray.
Well, I'll tell you, when Valentine missed that 1-1, Michigan's really good on those three-point shots. I thought they were going to go down and get a three and beat you.
Yeah.
It was dead, but they got three tip-ins before they got the ball in, you know.
Right.
You couldn't even box out on that ball or anything. But it's just a little thing, like you said. But going on to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that Seattle, I was rooting big time because I don't like Belichick and Brady. I think they did some cheating there.
Yeah.
Hopefully the NFL is going to come down on them. We'll find out. And they've been investigating it for 3 weeks, but then you get down to 1 yard line. Okay, you get a lucky catch down to the, bobbled around. The only catch the guy got all day.
Right, how about that? Right.
4 yard run, and you got the beast there, and you won't give him the ball one time. You got another timeout. You got two. You can, if you don't get it on a second down, you can call your last timeout, and then go to the pass on the last two downs.
Right. No, I think you are. That's the exact feeling that many followers of that game are feeling right now, Ray. And at that moment, I mean, looking at it, again, you got Beast Mode, you know, you're right there at the goal line. He hasn't been able to be contained the entire game, heck, the entire season for that matter. Why not give it to Beast and let him run it up the middle?
Pete Carroll got cocky. He wanted to beat Belichick so bad that he thought, well, I'll try a slant play. He won't be ready for that. Well, that guy said he read his homework, and that's how he knew that play was coming.
Right, and you know what? Looking at Pete Carroll's comments after the game, he talked about how the reason why they decided to throw on that play, which he did admit, hey, it's all on him, it's his blow, his mistake, right, is that he felt as though the matchups for that play did not bode well in their favor to run the football, so he decided to change things up and just kind of just go, you know, just go for a second down pass and then live to play on third down.
I put my chances on less than a yard with a big back like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways, the third one is the most frustrating of all. You know, I've been telling you about Kurt Warner getting in the Hall of Fame. They took him to the final vote. They voted him out. He got voted out in high school, college, and the pros. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. He'll go down as one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the history of the playoffs. He's got better stats than anybody in the Hall of Fame that's been already in. And he was the three top passing records he still holds,
yeah,
out of 49 Super Bowls. He's got the number two rating of all time behind Bart Starr, a great, great quarterback with the Packers. How he got – they had five people they could only vote in, okay? And they took four of them that were had been waiting 6 to 12 years. And I understand those people got good credentials too, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot – they haven't put a quarterback in 10 years. What's the most important position in football?
Oh, we all know that. It's no-brainer, the quarterback position, of course.
How does he not get voted in on the first ballot?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think eventually Kurt is going to grace the Hall of Fame stage.
Yeah, he can get next year, but he's going to have to wait another year, and this movie was coming out this year, so, you know, he's going to have to put in a failure part at the end because he didn't get it.
But, you know, I think the NFL showed him a little bit of respect yesterday. I mean, I'm sure you saw this, Ray. I mean, Kurt Warner actually walked the Vince Lombardi trophy.
I did see that.
Yeah.
And I give him doodles for that. That was class. But, you know, that's the frustrating, too. His greatest moments were the St. Louis Rams and the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
Neither team has did anything before he got there, anything since. Okay, if you just look at that itself, those teams weren't that great of teams. But he put their level up with him, you know, with his great quarterback rating and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, they were playing that game in Arizona where he had some of his greatest moments. You would think they would have went ahead and pushed him over the top, knowing that he's in Arizona right there, you know, and he just built a $2 million home for that retarded child that his wife he married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she, her parents died of a tornado, and they're going to put that in the movie, and they're going to also have about her breast cancer and all this other stuff. It would have been a great ending to the movie if they could have put him in the Hall of Fame, but I don't know. You know, that's how people are. There was 46 voters, and I don't know how they vote, or, you know, it could be prejudice or what, but you had to have
I think he'll eventually get in. I think it's a matter of time, but I do think you got to give hats off to the NFL because I do think they definitely showed him some appreciation yesterday, though.
That was class. Anyways, I pray that you guys work on your little short shots around them because it looked frustrating there watching them all day until the overtime. The one thing I give you credit, the Michigan State credit, in the overtime, just like Wisconsin beat Michigan, they pounded the ball inside in the overtime, and that's where you got to beat Michigan.
Right.
On the inside. And if you can't, you got – because they do have a good 2-3 defense, even though they got all these scrubs playing practically. You got to make your outside shots. They got to work on their outside shooting too, because when they play Michigan in the rematch, Michigan hustles. You got to give them credit.
Yeah. No, that's true.
They hustle.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. I mean, it was just so – and that comes down to coaching too, because Beilein does a great job of putting pieces where they need to be in order for this team to be successful, even in light of – or in lieu, I should say, of their two of their superstars out the game. Ray, great take, my man. Appreciate the call.
God bless you.
Thank you. All right. Well, we still got a lot of current sports left. Don't touch that dial, folks, because when we come back, we'll have weekend winners for you, and we'll be breaking down the Super Bowl. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Happy Monday, beautiful people. Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I am the man behind the mic and your host of Current Sports, Al Martin. Again, if you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything we talk about today, 517-355-9527. But without further ado, each and every Monday, we love to take a look at the weekend that was in sports and bring to you what we call our weekend winners. Who exactly had the best weekend in sports? Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
Yes, that is why you play the game, and these were the best around this weekend. Folks, it's time for Weekend Winners, where we recap the sporting weekend and bring to you which athletes, coaches, teams, or personnel had the best weekend in the world of sports. Well, you know we got to start this thing off by talking about the Super Bowl. One of my weekend winners is, of course, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots, ladies and gents. What a Super Bowl it was. First off, from an entertainment aspect of this whole thing, I mean, what a comeback after a year that saw the Denver Broncos getting mollywopped on by the Seattle Seahawks. And you have a game like this, a back-and-forth chess match between the Seahawks and the New England Patriots. Very entertaining to watch throughout from the beginning to the end of the game. It was fantastic. The halftime show was great as always. Katy Perry blew the roof off of the stadium out in Arizona. Man, it was fun. It was very, very fun to watch, folks. Now, going into the game now. You know, and I think there may be some people that disagree with me on this, and including, of course, our beloved Ray, who just called in, who does not like the Patriots whatsoever. But you know what? When looking at the resume of Bill Belichick, I mean, my goodness, folks. I mean, just looking at the man's body of work and what he has been able to do in the NFL. Dare I say it, man? I'm going to say it. I think Bill Belichick is going to go down as the greatest coach in NFL history. I think he is. When you look at his success in the postseason, I mean, he's had, what, 6 Super Bowl appearances. He's lost 2. He's been named Coach of the Year. His team is a dynasty. I mean, they've had early wins in the early 2000s and now have just won another Super Bowl. They're always in a conversation for a team to look at every single year. I mean, it's tough to argue and pit any coach against Bill Belichick. I think he'll go down as the greatest. Now, of course, there are a lot of asterisks. Well, I should say 2 asterisks that come to the fold when talking about the success of Bill Belichick in the postseason. Spygate, and yes, of course, Deflategate. Sure, I get it. I get it. And they're legit. They are legit quarrels to have. I mean, anytime a coach or team is found to bend the rules or break the rules, hey, I get it. It doesn't look good. But you can't tell me that the brunt and the foundational aspect to Bill Belichick's success stemmed to deflated footballs and Spygate. That's a hard argument to make, folks. A hard, hard argument to make. Again, he's a 6-time Super Bowl champion, folks. 6-time. Once as an assistant coach. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable record. I thought that the Seattle Seahawks put up a great fight. This goes to coaching as well. I mean, to be honest with you, looking at the New England Patriots year, I mean, can we rewind time to week 2 when we were really looking at this team and saying, oh, I don't know about this team. There's something wrong here. They had a few eye-popping losses, and we're sitting there saying to ourselves, I remember that was like the lead story on ESPN and Yahoo Sports, and we even had it on our Quicken headliners. Patriots have lost, I have to go back and look at their record start the year. But it was very, very alarming and had a lot of people saying, oh, man, I'm not sold on this team. I'm not sold on this team. I don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs. That's what a lot of people were saying, folks. And then to look at what happened and what transpired throughout this year, you have to give Bill Belichick and his coaching staff a lot of credit. Tom Brady's resiliency. How about we talk about Tom Terrific, huh? Of course, U of M alum. Tom Brady, it could go down as the best postseason quarterback of all time. Point blank, period. I mean, you know, just think about this. Just think about this for a sec. This is the league's top defensive unit he's going against. The Seattle Seahawks, folks. The Seattle Seahawks. This isn't some run-of-the-mill defense we're talking about. He throws for 328 yards and 4 touchdowns. against the Seattle Seahawks defense. The Seattle Seahawks defense is the biggest reason why I chose Seattle to win that game. I always say defense wins championships. Well, I'll tell you what, not only was Tom great, now he did have two interceptions that were really, in the heat of the moment, going, you know, when especially that the first one Tom threw, they were driving downfield, and he throws an interception right in the end zone, and you're saying, oh my goodness, what was he looking at there? But he has such a short memory, he's able to just say, all right, I may have messed up on that play, let's think toward the next down here. But you not only on the offensive end for the Patriots, but the defensive end as well, because this New England Patriots isn't a defense that turned a lot of heads this year. They were able to frustrate Russell Wilson and get him out of his comfort zone, folks. I always say, if you want to try and disable a quarterback, you get pressure on him. New England was able to, and this is a very tricky thing to do. New England was able to get pressure on Russell. Get him out of the pocket. Now, we all know Russell Wilson is fantastic when he's out of the pocket. He can burn you on the ground, and he's also great at throwing on the run. But not only were they able to get him out of the pocket, they were able to have a QB spy set in place to make sure that Russell did not gain those yards on the ground. And if he did, they were only 5 to 7 yard gains. If that. Now, it was really difficult because when you put a linebacker in a QB spy situation, that takes away another guy who could be containing receivers on the edge. But you know what? The Patriots held the fort down in that aspect as well. It was a great defensive scheme that I have not seen thrown at Russell all year. Bill Belichick, hats off to you, my man. Julian Edelman, he was also a star. My goodness, 9 receptions for 109 yards. Who would have fathomed he would have had the game that he did? Gronk, arguably the toughest matchup in the league, other than probably, what, Megatron? I mean, my goodness, Gronkowski, I mean, he's got the size, he's got the speed, he's got the hands, and he's a tight end. My goodness, 6 receptions for 68 yards for him. And again, you know, looking at Russell Wilson's numbers compared to Tom Brady's, you know, Russell was 12 of 21 for 247 yards, 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. That's not a bad stat line at all, considering the pressure that he dealt with. But man, oh man, Tom was just a little bit better, folks. A little bit better in moments when he needed to be a little bit better. Hats off to the Seahawks, though. A great year from them. And we all know the moment I'm about to bring up. Yeah, Pete Carroll did blow it. Pete Carroll and his coaching staff blew that one. Point blank, period. If you know, you're driving, you know, one of your wide receivers who hasn't been active all game makes an unbelievable catch, bobbles it, puts you in position to make some noise and take the lead and possibly win the Super Bowl. And they call a passing play instead of giving it to beast mode. Ah, it's a head scratcher. And it's the little things, folks. The little things get amplified in games like this, where you're facing a big, big foe, a great, formidable opponent. If you don't do the little things right, even in the play calling coaching booth, you end up losing games. And that's what happened in this game. Great season, though. Seattle was a young team. They will be a force to be reckoned with for quite some time, folks. And Russell Wilson will continuously get better. But right now, hey, Tom Terrific adds to his legacy as well as Bill Belichick. Alex, quick thoughts about the Super Bowl, my man.
I mean, yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with the call, man. My thought is, why not run it with beast mode like you said? Even if you'd rather pass, even if the scheme was different, you still got one timeout. So if you're worried about them passing the ball in bounds, there's only 1 yard to go. It's not like it's going to be 7 yard pass and bounds and you're not in the end zone yet. So, yeah, I just don't understand that. And also, got to give props to Katy Perry. She was tremendous in the halftime performance. So that's a winner for me with the Super Bowl. And another weekend winner, which we haven't touched on too much, is Michigan State hockey, man.
Yeah.
How big
yeah.
was that? I mean, I've been covering them a little bit this season. They needed some garbage goals. They held Michigan, averaging 6.8 goals a game, as Madeline Carino read in our headliners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty tremendous, and that's the start that I think Michigan State needed and Tom Manassas needed in this important year.
Yeah, no,
for
no.
the hockey team.
Fantastic. Yeah, I definitely want. I'm glad you brought him because I wanted to shout out the Spartan hockey team as well. I mean, a 2-1 win over Michigan at the Joe, and again, that's a big win over a rival opponent. So yeah, definitely shout out to him.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Starr. I mean, he won the first star last week for the Big Ten, but Jake Hildebrand in net for the Spartans.
Right.
I mean, to hold them to one goal, he faced over 30 shots. I mean, that's tremendous.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, definitely hats off to Tom Manassas. It's a huge, huge win. And we're going to get him on the show very, very soon, folks, so you don't want to miss current sports in the coming days and weeks. Also want to shout out Serena Williams. She defeated Maria Sharapova in straight sets to win the Australian Open. She continues her dominance on the tennis scene. It is just so remarkable because, I mean, I've been watching Serena play, you know, ever since I was a little tyke. And her you talk about consistent success? I mean, she is the epitome of that. I mean, she just gets better and better year by year by year. Her focus is amazing, folks. So, hey, Serena Williams, hats off to you. Also, how about the Pistons on Saturday, I believe? And Darian Harris, our friend, one of our students who works on the show, he was actually at that game to witness the Rockets versus Pistons. Josh Smith's return to play his former team. How about that? But KCP certainly outshined him. Want to shout out the Pistons for getting that win over a big opponent. The Rockets are one of the best in the West, folks. So big win for them there. And also, I'm making Matt Costello one of my weekend winners. I thought that Matt Costello, you know, the way he was able to sort of rally the troops, rally his troops, you know, so to speak, in the overtime period. I mean, he was a spark plug. And, you know, it just kind of rubbed off on everybody on that team. So hats off to Matt Costello for providing some energy, I would say, down low for the Spartans. So I don't know now, though. I just don't know. I always say, man, the verdict is still out for me when it comes to Tom Izzo and the MSU men's basketball team. But, hey, it was a win nonetheless. Folks, before we wrap up the show, I got to remind you all that, hey, Current Sports TV, this Wednesday night at 6 p.m., I'll be sitting down with 2000 NCAA men's basketball champion, yes, David Thomas. David also is doing some great things in the community, and he is now working with the MSU women's basketball team as the director of operations and technology for Susie and Company. So if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. Well, folks, we'll be back at it tomorrow again. Stay safe. Stay safe out there. It is ugly outside, all right? Don't go out if you don't have to, okay? You don't want to be like me and end up with a dent in your car. All right, if you missed that long story, okay, you'll just have to catch the podcast later on, posting on WKR.org, all right? Funny story, all right? All right, well, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's show. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR, AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Monday. Happy Groundhog Day as well. And be easy, people.